On this edition of Oski Talk, we talk about the Illini's new hire, Brett Bielema, as head football coach. We talk about the Illini football and basketball's losses to Penn State and Rutgers, and the Illini basketball's next game against Penn State. We also hear from high school head coach Bill Bicker on the Illini's new hire. Let's go.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. Illinois football season is officially over, but that does not mean we don't have a ton to get into this episode. And with that, we'll get right into our front page. Illinois lost a tough one to Penn State on Saturday, 56-21, the final score there. But the biggest story of the day is that Josh Whitman in Illinois has announced that Brett Bielema will be the next head coach of Illinois football, effective immediately.
Yeah, super surprised about this hire just because it seemed like Brett Bielema didn't cross off all the boxes that we expected Whitman to cross. I think a big one for me, at least, was just that Bielema kind of has an interesting track record with just kind of other coaches not getting along with people. And I just thought Josh Whitman might consider that a little bit too much of a risk for his program, kind of probably the most important hire of his career. Now, if this doesn't pan out the way he wants, or if something goes wrong and he has to fire Bielema, he's going to be held extremely responsible for this and potentially be on the firing block. That being said, I do like the hire. He was a guy who was on my list of guys who I'd like to have. He brings experience. Obviously, he has won 3 Big Ten championship games, all against pretty fantastic teams. I know in my head that Nebraska game against while he was at Wisconsin, in the Big Ten championship game when they put up 70 points is a classic Big Ten game that I grew up watching and can remember vividly. So hopefully he could bring a similar gusto to Illinois. I hope he kind of brings the Barry Alvarez-esque accountability to University of Illinois. The idea that we should be pretty good almost every year, that we shouldn't be giving an inch, that six win seasons are the low mark of a season. He's got a long way to go. I think he started off on the right foot, contacted the Illinois head coach, high school head coach association, which apparently Lovey hasn't even contacted in his 5 years at University of Illinois, which is a shocking move. And we have Plainfield South head coach Bill Bicker on later to talk a little bit about that. But look, this is it's an interesting hire for sure. There's some names out there that you could pick up for coordinator jobs, and I guess I'm somewhat excited. I'm ready for the press conference that'll come out today. You and I believe will both be at that, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, and just to give a little bit of a background here on Bielema, the name's probably most recognizable from his time in Wisconsin. He was head coach there until, I think, 2012, and then he went to Arkansas, spent 5 seasons there. And although the grand record was below 500, in those 5 years went to 3 bowls. And then after that was hired by Bill Belichick and the Patriots to help on the defensive line, defensive side of the ball. He's a defensive guy. And then went with Joe Judge from New England to the Giants and spent most of this season with them before leaving before their game this week against the Browns and going to Champaign and taking the job with Illinois. So a lot of Big Ten experience, a lot of college experience, ton of recruiting experience, but he also has those connections to the next level. And he said in one of his first interviews already that the biggest thing he's going to bring is a more NFL style of offense back. because that's what he's noticed is the big difference from college to the NFL is the offense. And then the other thing he said that I really liked is we're going to recruit the state of Illinois like no other. And that's something Illinois has struggled to do, even though, you know, big brand Illinois school. That's something that they got to focus on. I think that'll be obviously a big target. He's going to have to do some recruiting, even for this upcoming year, just with a lot of things up in the air. But, I mean, so far I think he's made the right moves, and I like the hire.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when it comes to the first thing he said there that he mentioned in the NFL offense, it's interesting to me because the NFL offense has actually been moving more towards a college style game, right? The spread offense has been real, and I think if you're Bielema, you look at, you know, a guy like Kevin Stefanski at Cleveland, and you see a quarterback that is similar in style, at least a little bit, to Isaiah Williams. Obviously, Isaiah is more of a Kyler Murray, can run a little bit more. But when you look at kind of an offense, and if you want to mix in something that he kind of did at Wisconsin, it's running the ball 70% of the time and then having a semi-mobile quarterback make good spread throws, take a couple chances down the field, but even running with the QB and kind of letting him do what he wants to do. So that's what I would hope when he means when talking about the NFL style. That's the kind of offense that I think I would expect from somebody who has Isaiah Williams in his back pocket, right? That being said, I wouldn't take that first comment with a whole lot of I wouldn't take that comment to heart, just because I think he kind of was in some of those media situations. The big question was, what have you learned in the NFL? I think that probably took him off a little bit by surprise. Obviously, I think as a character, as a guy, I think he's probably learned a lot from Belichick, because I hope he certainly has, kind of keeping a cool demeanor and taking things very seriously, which might not have been there. Obviously, he's grown since he's been at Wisconsin or even Arkansas, so hopefully that kind of translated in his character more. But I'm not so certain that the offense is going to be a pro
style. And the other thing, too, and we've said it a little bit already, he's a defensive guy. So, I mean, it's likely he'll call defensive plays, and he'll either keep Rod Smith calling the offense or bring in somebody else to call the offense. And you talked already, you've got some potential candidates you think might be brought in. We'll get to that a little bit later. But another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about with this particular hire is how quick it got done. It was within a week. So I'm wondering if you think, you know, you mentioned him as a guy you thought could be, but do you think this was a target hire from Whitman?
Yeah, actually, well, you know, I think Bielema probably went to Whitman and looked at this Illinois job. I'm sure he went through Barry Alvarez, and Alvarez said, hey, I Bielema is looking for a job as a college football playoff committee member and as a member of the Big Ten, as an athletic director and a friend. I would consider hiring him, see what he has to say. So I imagine that's kind of the back channel that it went through Barry Alvarez and Whitman, being a guy who, you know, respects that kind of, you know, old Big Ten style, and played against Barry Alvarez, probably took that recommendation to heart and went ahead and interviewed Bielema. And I imagine because Bielema has some baggage that and you know, we don't really expect Josh Whitman to hire a guy with a lot of baggage, right? I imagine what went into that interview was extremely impressive. And when you kind of learn a little bit more about the Lovey era as it has ended, right? It hasn't been successful recruiting Illinois like we expected it to. The fact that he was the Bears head coach did not pan out very well. And it was clear from the start that recruiting Illinois wasn't a priority for Lovie Smith. Josh Whitman, I assume, heard Illinois head coaches, watched the Iowa game, said, I can't put up with this. It's okay if he's successful and doesn't have to recruit Illinois, that's fine. But if he's not successful, he's not recruiting Illinois and he's not getting big names and he's not, you know, pleasing Illinois head coaches, high school head coaches, you know, why am I keeping him around? So I think Bielema probably, that was a big part of it, you know, reestablishing that trust between, you know, head coaches in, high school head coaches in Illinois and in the Midwest, and having them contact Illinois and tell them about their kids and then Illinois being successful there. So, you know, we talked to Bill Booker later in the show. You should definitely listen to that interview, kind of learned a little bit more about the situation. But, you know, I think that's what kind of probably went into his hire. And there's guys that have coached with Bielema. Obviously, I'm not sure all of them want to coach with him again, but or have better situations. But he has a long list of coordinators that have coached with him that are still around the game.
Yeah, and one thing that he's kind of been known for in terms of development is being really good at developing offensive line and defensive linemen. That's something Wisconsin's been known for. And he's taken over an Illinois situation where obviously, and we'll get to this next week a little bit more too, there's some seniors that have the option to come and play next season. And because of COVID, there's also a full Illinois starting offensive line. And that's something they took a lot of pride in. Alex Pelcheski, Vidarian Lowe, Doug Kramer, Kendrick Green. Obviously, some of those guys will move on. Some of them will be back. We've got Olin Kreutz's son joining the team soon. And then you assume he'll be able to up that recruiting on the offensive line as well. You know, he's a firm believer that football is won in the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. So, I mean, just the fact that you've got an offensive line type of breeder would lead me to believe some of these guys might consider staying another season. I know Alex Pelcheski, who had ACL surgery, announced on Twitter, "I'll see you guys in Ireland." So that's pretty much leaning to the fact that he'll be back. Some of these guys might take their trips to the NFL. And like I said, we'll talk about that next week. But he's taken over a roster that has a lot of intriguing aspects that kind of lean towards what he's known for being a good focus at.
Yeah, I think the one thing that certainly has happened in the Lovie era has been an increase in an ability to play the linebacker position. I think the linebacker depth chart is pretty fairly deep. I'm not certain how deep it is for the 3-4, but I've been a big fan of the 3-4. You know, it's come to Chicago. It's been very successful, and I think at least in the new world, the spread offense, running a 3-4, and then maybe even you know, running that 3-4 with a guy who's that hybrid linebacker, defensive D-back, safety kind of guy, and basically having a 3-3-5 is extremely interesting, and especially in kind of the new era of college football when the spread is completely taken over everywhere, and even in the Big Ten West, somewhere it really hadn't been you know, incorporated in. So it'll be interesting, and I imagine you know, at some of those positions, you get guys returning. Hopefully we have Jake Hansen, and we'll talk about again, like you said, a little bit later, but hopefully him and Milo Eifler consider coming back for another season and continuing the linebacker tradition in Illinois. But yeah, that's something that you got to look forward to. I mean, Bielema hopefully will bring a new kind of you know, sense of defense, you know, hard-nosed defense that, you know, he played against when he was at Iowa, right? When the ones that he saw, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s. So hopefully we have a return to, you know, that kind of hard-nosed defense.
Yes, I mean, it's certainly an interesting hire. A lot of different avenues you can go about it. Excited to hear from him later today. And, you know, in the coming days, expect we'll hear some of those announcements, some players potentially going to the NFL, transferring, returning, whatever that may be, and whoever may be joining Bielema on the coaching staff or which coaches might be leaving or staying. But nonetheless, there was a football game on Saturday. Illinois lost a tough one, 56-21. The first quarter was a ton of fun. 3 touchdowns scored. They gave up the most points that they have all season, 56. You can't really blame these guys. Defensive coordinator, linebackers coach gone. And a lot of players deciding not to play or were hurt. Josh Amater-Bebe declared for the draft on the offensive side. They were thin at receiver. He was out. Isaiah Williams got the start at quarterback, kind of. They both played, but he handled most of the snaps there and had a pretty solid game at that. I mean, it was an interesting game, and Rod Smith kind of gave it a somewhat good audition for his next employer, which I think it'll be a new place. But what was your take on the 56-21 game to end the season?
Yeah, it was a nice first quarter, and then from there just, you know, collapse. Yep. And what a way to kind of put the exclamation point on the Lovie Smith error, right? I mean,
yeah.
The fact that Illinois has actually, I think, given up, what was it, 35 unanswered points to Penn State twice? Like, come on. That's not something that can happen in any head coach's era. So it is, you know, it's kind of the exclamation point. I don't have a lot to say from the game. I just, it's disappointing. You have some players that will be back, obviously, that you're excited about. I think a lot of, you know, the offensive line is something you could probably be proud of at the end of the day. Chase Brown and Isaiah Williams, two guys that you're excited about for next year. And especially under a Bielema offense that we know will run the ball a lot. I think both of those guys can be excited to, you know, coach with this guy. We talk about some of the guys, some of the names that Bielema has coached. You know, Russell Wilson being one of them, Monty Ball,
Melvin Gordon,
and right. Did he coach Melvin Gordon? I think that was after he left.
Maybe he recruited Melvin Gordon then. I think he was part of one of the last classes he recruited. I mean, J.J. Watt's another guy that was on those Wisconsin teams. I know that's not the offensive side of the ball, but that's another huge name.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you look at the, tight end position too. You got Hunter Henry. So Luke Ford has to be excited. I think Luke Ford originally committed to Bielema at Arkansas, and then Bielema got fired. So Luke Ford has got to be excited as well. Daniel Barker, obviously, too. So it'll be an offense that utilizes tight ends as well, and that's got to be exciting for both those guys. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's an interesting hire, and this last game was a great explanation point to, you know, just a really bad era of Illinois football. I you know, good for Rod Smith. I wish this wasn't his first opportunity to coach in a big game, and it's a bummer for him. But at the end of the day, I think this team is complete, you know, kind of debilitated by the, you know, the situation. I don't think anyone was prepared for Lovie Smith to leave, and then when he did, it just kind of was over.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's definitely a tough situation to put the players in, and a tough situation to put the coaches in for that last game. But it also was a pretty good reminder that change was needed, and now change is here.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we'll learn a little bit more about Bielema tomorrow. We'll talk to him, but it is exciting from a media standpoint because he is a guy who who's been known to be fun around media members. I don't know, Anthony, have you ever seen the clip of Bielema saying, oh, what was it? He said, I'm going to go hop on my wife. And he meant to say, I'm going to go hop on the plane with my wife during a post-game win against, I forgot what team it was, but while he was at Arkansas.
Yeah, and all we got out of Lovie Smith in 5 years is Brandon's our quarterback. So it's definitely a change of pace in terms of the character of the guy we're going to be getting on Saturday afternoons and Mondays with the media. So looking forward to that. But we'll switch gears into Illinois basketball. Another tough loss for them, 91-88 against Rutgers at the Rack. Fans or no fans, that's a tough place to play. Officials seem to be on the Rutgers side as well for most of that game. Io played a good game. Kofi played a good game. I think Io and Kofi have both had double-doubles, which seems to be a regular thing here. But Ron Harper Jr. and a few timely fouls for Rutgers, a flagrant on DeMonte and some more poor free throw shooting did Illinois in again. Third loss. Obviously, this is against a ranked team on the road. It's not one you're necessarily really heard about, but you know, if this team has title hopes, if this team has Big Ten title hopes, you got to be winning these games.
Yeah, you got to play a little bit tougher. You know, I understand, you know, basketball is a game where of momentum, and frankly the refs were terrible in this one. I mean, you can't blame it all on the refs, but you know, in basketball, when you have a 2-minute stretch where the refs essentially give the other team 10 points, I mean, there was that 4-point swing with the flagrant foul. The 6-point swing, right? And then I think what Ron Harper Jr. hit a 3 after that. So you have a 9-point swing. And then, you know, that just keeps on adding up, right? It and then you get debilitated a little bit there. Because you can't play hard-nosed defense. You can't be aggressive on defense after that. So you start giving up more points, obviously, just because you can't be aggressive in the paint. And when they were crashing the board nonstop and you felt almost scared to get a defensive rebound because you're afraid of giving our foul call on you and losing our 2 points. So it's tough.
And your best defenders have to come out because they're in foul trouble.
Right, exactly. And then, you're some of your best offensive players that have picked you up throughout the season, aka Curbelo, has to come out. And it came to the point where the defense just got picked apart because Ron Harper Jr. is a great player and they didn't want to foul him. So that's going to happen. But the thing is that this is going to happen again. I mean, it happened twice. You could argue, I felt like the Mizzou game was a lot like this one as well, in that aspect. But you have to out-tough it, right? At some point, like, to be that national championship team, you have to be able to get past it and be mentally prepared. There's some part of me that thinks that this team hasn't found that identity yet, that it needs to find that identity, being a tough-nosed guys. And there was a guy who was very much like that at the point guard position last year, and it was Andres Feliz. And I think there's another reason that you're thinking, wow, Feliz was in this game. Like, I'm not sure we lose. I don't think we lose a step, But there's no one on this team, and, it goes to say a little bit of Io's leadership. He's got to be yelling at these guys, let's focus. Let's get back in this game. Like, you can't let this happen. And for that flagrant foul, that was a BS call. DeMonte can't be that upset after it too, and I think he was kind of chuckling a little bit about it. But other guys get really frustrated by what happened in that during that stretch of the game, and I just it carried the rest of the game away. But look, you got a decent looking schedule the next couple of days. No one that you feel too upset about, except Northwestern just destroyed MSU. So you're a little bit worried about that game now, but in general, these are games you should win. I think you have to put that chip back on your shoulder like they had last year and continue the Big Ten season and find your identity.
Yeah, you absolutely need to go on a run. And this is something I feel like we've talked about after every single loss that they've had this year. This team lost with Feliz and Alan Griffin a ton of points, primarily off the bench. And those guys, more than anybody else on the team last year, were sparks. And you need those sparks when guys like Io and Kofi can't do it out by themselves. They need help. And when your help is from DeMonte Williams and Andre Curbelo, fine. But both those guys fouled out. And then Trent Frazier and Adam Miller haven't been shooting the way they need to be shooting for this offense to click. I mean, Alan Griffin's putting up, I think, nearly 20 points and almost 10 rebounds a game with Syracuse. You'd love to have that on your team. Feliz was, we talked about it so much last year, how whenever this team, I guess the way you'd call it is Feliz was our run stopper. Whenever another team would start to get on your run, he would get a little layup. He would make a good play on defense, whatever it was. That guy was always there to stop the bleeding. What they have struggled to do so far this year, in the second half against Baylor, second half against Mizzou for the most part, but that one was also officiating, and a little bit against Rutgers, is they've struggled to stop the bleeding once the bleeding happens.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's been bad. And it goes back to that identity, right? You got to be tough. We've lost that toughness edge, I feel like, and I don't know where we lost it, but there's just no one on the team just barking at each other, like holding each other accountable, I feel like, for being like, let's stop with this ticky-tacky fouling. I know we don't think we're fouling. And I really thought that Georgie foul was ridiculous as well. A small bump in the chest, you're really going to call that? And the sad thing was, I really thought the officiating was great in the first half. They let both teams play, and obviously Illinois being the better team got the edge in that in the first half. But then, it comes down to these just ticky-tack fouls at the end of the game, and you're just like, this is just ridiculous. It's you're giving the game away. At some point, I was tweeting out, I don't think this is basketball. It just came to the point where I was like, this is disgusting. You can't, how is this happening? But you got to win. You got to get past that, because there's going to be like games like that every year. There is games like that every year. There's going to be another game this year that you're going to feel like, wow, refs are just taking this game away from the Illini. Got to be tougher than it. You have to win despite that.
Absolutely. You're going to have to overcome these things because, you get into tournament time. You can't let a one foul, two fouls turn into a 10-point swing for another team because they're going to turn that into 15 and you're going to be buried, kind of like what happened against Baylor. Like, that second half got away from Illinois so fast. You got to be able to rebound when you get punched in the face. And we'll look for them to do that. They got another game this week, Tuesday, against Penn State at Penn State. So another road one, December 23rd, 5 p.m., Big Ten Network. Penn State 3-2, Illinois 5-3, but they'll still be in the top 25, I believe, when those rankings come out. We're recording this Sunday night, so I'm assuming they're going to be maybe in the 20s or at least getting votes at the very worst. But Penn State doesn't look to be all that scary. They're a lot less talented than they were last year. Obviously a really good team last year, but it's tough to play at Penn State. That's another place that's tough to travel to. Obviously with fans, it's different. But you really need Illinois to come out and really lay the hammer down on Penn State.
Yeah, it's a team that kind of goes with a smaller lineup. So when you see that, you think immediately go to Kofi. You know, John Farrar is the biggest guy that they're going to have on the floor. He's 6'9". Kofi should be able to put a little bit of body on him. Doesn't play a whole lot. So we'll kind of see what they go with there. But it'll be interesting. I think the guard play for, you know, Penn State kind of goes through Isaiah Brockington. He seems to be the all-star on this team this year, so he's kind of the guy defensively. If you're a guard, you want to have on probably Demonte Williams on him, maybe Trent Frazier too. But you know, he's kind of the all-star. If you could stop his flow in the game, keep him from, you know, taking easy shots, you should be able to control this game. Other than that, Jamari Wheeler has been pretty good as well. Didn't have any points in the Michigan game, but did get a couple assists, and played plenty of minutes. So, you know, those are some guys that you're going to have to look out for. But I think in this one, if you can get good guard play from Dosunmu and Trent Frazier, as well as getting Kofi extremely involved in this game, you know, have Curbelo feeding him easy dunks, easy looks at the basket, you're going to win this game. So I think Illini could go into this one feeling confident. That being said, this is a decent Penn State team. You know, you can't underestimate anyone in the Big Ten this year. So we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, and this team knows that they're going to be getting their opponent's best shots. One thing I do want to say, after the game today, Underwood was extremely upset with the way Kofi specifically is being officiated. So we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, the matchup's a little bit more favorable for Illinois here against Penn State, especially with Kofi. So with that, we'll get into some score predictions here for the contest, or Wednesday. I've been saying Tuesday. Wednesday's contest against Penn State at State College. I'm going to go Illinois 79-67. I think you need at least a double-digit win here, and you can't be giving up 91 points in the Big Ten. So I'm going to say Illinois holds Penn State. They have a good game defensively, and they win 79-67.
All right, I like that score. Yeah, I'm with you. I think this one's a little bit lower scoring. Illinois wins this one 75-69. Decent game. I think they control it for the most part, feel good towards the end of the game. I think a lot of these games are just kind of about controlling the flow of it, and I think Illinois can find their flow against Penn State.
Sounds good to me. We've both got Illini wins. So with that, we are going to bring it to one of our favorite segments here. We're going to hear from Plainfield South head coach Bill Bicker kind of talking about the Brett Bielema hire. So here's our segment, Say What?
Say What?
This week on the podcast, we welcome Plainfield South head coach Bill Bicker to talk a little bit about Brett Bielema and kind of what went down with the Lovie Smith era. I first want to kind of talk to you, in your opinion, in terms of recruiting and recruiting the state and building those relationships with Illinois head coaches, where did Lovie go wrong?
I don't think he was interested in it, to be honest. And it was difficult for me as, you know, as a high school head coach in the state of Illinois, but also an Illinois alum. I mean, that's where I went to school, Champaign, you know, Urbana-Champaign, is they just kind of made it clear early on that they were going to focus on other areas and not Chicagoland. And, you know, in Lovie's defense, and this isn't Lovie's defense, but Illinois hasn't done a good job going back a couple coaching administrations of really showing an interest in being anywhere in the Chicagoland area or anything like that. It's been half-hearted at best. And so, you know, they just, it didn't really seem like they wanted to lay claim to the state you know, and that was a little disappointing. And you know, from my standpoint, I understand I'm not going to hear from the head coach. We're not, unless you got a 5-star kid, 4-star kid he wants to seal a deal on. But there are plenty of programs, Northwestern being one of them, who will contact me 2 or 3 times a year just to check in and say, hi, how you doing, coach? And we know you don't have anybody for us, but keep us in mind when you do. So to me, you know, Illinois hasn't done that. Lovie didn't do it, and it hasn't been done for a while, in my opinion.
Yeah, so what are those kind of expectations? You know, keeping a constant contact with head coaches just so that, you know, they keep you in mind? Or yeah, what are those expectations from, or things that Iowa or Northwestern do?
Well, so that's a great question. I'll kind of tell you how I think the better programs do it. Is one, they place an emphasis on recruiting and making contact and building relationships. The best teams, the best programs know that it's players that win. Right, it's not plays. We say it all the time, even with our kids. You know, players make plays. Plays don't, you know, make players. So you want to be able to have your, you know, create that footprint, they always say. Well, I'll give you an example. So Northern Illinois and Eastern Illinois, in my mind, are the two of the schools in the state that do it the best, and Northwestern as well, too. And so, you know, I've got two coaches that'll check in, you know, not head coaches. We're not talking about that. But the head coach kind of sets the direction with the staff and then assigns everybody their recruiting areas. So for Northern and Eastern, you know, they've built that relationship. And, you know, an example I can come up with is I had a player, good player, you know, all conference as a junior last year, who excelled this summer, like took it to another level to the point where, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I think he's better than, let's say, a Division II football player. Now, he might be an FCS kid, like an Illinois State kid, or he might even be a borderline, maybe a kid who'd be a great walk-on at a place like Illinois or at a, you know, MAC or Big Ten school. So what do I do right away? I contact the guys that I know, that I contact, that contact me all the time, that I've got their names in my cell phone. So, you know, just initially you get that. Now, as a high school coach, you're going to try and promote your kid anywhere. So it's not like I didn't contact Illinois. I reached out to them. But my guys that I have these relationships with, they know me, they trust me, we've spent a little bit of time together, you know, that takes it to another level. And I don't think that Illinois showed an interest in that under Lovie in our area. You know, obviously if we would have had a kid, like I said, that was a 3-, 4-, 5-star kid, they probably would have come around. But I didn't hear from them in 5 years until this last fall, you know, and that was about it. So I think that, you know, whereas Northwestern, you know, they'll check in. And it's, you know, it's an assistant coach, and he'll say, coach, hey, this takes a few minutes. You know, is there anything you need? You know, you want to come by, watch us practice? Do you want to, you know, we got a clinic going on. Do you want to pop in on that? Just like, they know that, yeah, I might not have somebody now, but I could in the future.
Right. So Bielema takes this first step, obviously, you know, contacting the head of Illinois Football, yep. You know, Coach Association.
Yep.
That's the first step, obviously. Now where does he go from there? In terms of, you know.
So that, yeah, what I think he needs to do, you know, I was thinking about this too. Like, what is it? You know, what can he do to show me something? I think really reaching out and saying, we want you to be a part of what we do in Champaign, right? And we want to make sure we bring you in when we can bring you in. We want to put events on that showcase your kids. We want to see your kids. You know, case in point, there are a lot of us who take our kids to Northern Illinois in the summer for a 7-on-7. And Northern does a great job. Right, the facilities are okay. The facilities at Illinois are way better. So you don't really go necessarily for the facilities, but you go because you know you're going to see their coaches walking around. You're going to be able to talk to them. You're going to be able to tell the coach, hey, take a look at this kid. What do you think? I don't know if he's, you know, at your level, but you might be interested in him. You're going to make that contact. You know, I think that Northern's done a great job of that for the last 10, 15 years. Northwestern, you go do the 7-on-7 for them, and then – you know, your kids are on that practice facility overlooking Lake Michigan. Like, come on. Like, if you have a kid and then they get to see that, that's such an advantage. Whereas in Illinois, some years would have a 7-on-7, and when they did, it was so spread out in space. There was nothing where you'd have contact with coaches. It just really didn't seem like they wanted to be doing it. It was like, okay, we have to do this. Whereas you go to other schools, they'll have those one-day programs. They'll have things where they make you feel wanted. And I think that that's what he needs to do. He needs to let the coaches know, look, I know this has gone on long enough, you know, and it wasn't just Lovie. Like, it's been a while since the University of Illinois really, really, really cared about Illinois high school football. I mean, the fact that Lovie never talked to the Coaches Association, and I know that's for a fact. because I know members on the association board, he didn't want anything to do with some of the programs that they were trying to do.
Yeah, and I want to ask you this too, kind of wrapping it up. I know Bielema obviously was at Wisconsin for a long time. Did you ever kind of have contact, or did any of your colleagues had contact with him during the Wisconsin era?
I didn't. You know, that was way back when he was there. I was just a lowly assistant.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, a couple of places I was at, I haven't really heard much. You know, I kind of, he went to Arkansas, and that kind of went that way. So it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, I want him to do the best for obvious reasons. I'm an alum, one, and two, I want Illinois football to kind of get elevated to a better status all around, not just there. But, you know, I wish him the best. I hope it works out.
Yeah, well, I really, really appreciate this, Coach Bicker. Thanks for kind of giving us an insight on the recruiting and what it's like to be an in-state coach right now.
All right, well, thank you very much, you know, ILL.
I, thanks so much.
All right.
Want to thank Bill for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate his insight. It's really interesting to think and see kind of what happened in the Lovie Smith era, because the recruiting was really bad. I mean, it's a totally. It was shocking. And I got to say, I think he mentioned somebody contacting them 2 months ago, which I imagine was Ashton Washington contacting them. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, it probably was turning around, that they were trying to, you know, look at some of these, you know, head coaches again and look back into Illinois, but just Lovie Smith didn't do it from the beginning. And frankly, that was probably, his biggest flaw at Illinois that resulted in him getting fired.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be able to recruit the state that your team is from. And that was a huge, lapse, I would say, in Lovie Smith's tenure. And initially seems like a huge focus of Brett Bielema. So that's going to be an exciting thing to keep our eyes on and watch as the era continues.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited for Bielema, just because, you know, this first week, I think he's been trying to win over everybody. And frankly, so far, whether it was being on game day and kind of only being buddy buddy with Chris Fowler or Herb Street, That's a good look. And then immediately getting a good rep from the Illinois High School Head Coach Association. Those are two good looks. So good for Bielema for getting off to a good start. Hope to see him a little bit more, and I'm excited for the beginning of his era. Should be interesting.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll hear from him later today. With that, we're going to do our last segment here, our Illini of the Week. We could have given it to Brett Bielema for coming on the show, but we hope he has bigger and better things in sight in his tenure. So we're going to wait to give it to him. We're going to give it to Rod Smith, potentially his last game coached for Illinois. Great guy, always good to deal with to the media. Seemed very grateful that Lovie gave him this opportunity. And for all these players, he made it a huge focus this week that it's not about him and it's not about their futures. It's about these kids. And he always seemed like a very caring coach. He got his opportunity to be head coach a little bit yesterday. Game didn't obviously go as planned, but, I mean, he's very talented. He'll find a job soon, if not with Illinois.
Yeah, he'll find a job soon. In all likelihood, I'm not sure if he'll stay at Illinois, but wanted to give it to him just because, you know, it was his first time head coaching, and it was a dream of his to do it. Wrong circumstances, but he wanted to do it, and he did a decent job, I'll say.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So that is a wrap for this edition of Oski Talk. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back talking to you guys on Wednesday. We'll hear from Brett Bielema, and we'll get into a recap of the Illini-Penn State game. But with that, that'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. For Patrick Catazone, I'm Anthony Pasquale. Thank you guys so much for listening. Happy holidays, ILL.
I and I.